Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Wednesday. Noon on a Wednesday, by the way, means we're halfway to the weekend. Congratulations. We're almost there.
Yeah, man.
Daniel Jeremiah going to join us in about 25 minutes. NFL Network analyst, host of the Move the Sticks podcast along with Bucky Brooks. Great podcast. Highly recommend. They had Thomas Dimitroff on that podcast last week. Covered a lot of ground. He's got a great relationship with Thomas Dimitroff. We'll talk to him about that conversation and lots of other NFL topics coming up in 25 minutes. The debut of a new 1240 game, Word Association. Now, we got this idea from not the Daniel Jeremiah podcast, but from the Falcons podcast that they did with Matt Ryan, where they just threw words at him and he had to respond with the first thing that came to his mind. Isn't that called like a Rorschach test or something like that in psychology?
I have no clue.
They try to get to the bottom of really what's going on in your subconscious.
No clue.
We're going to do that at 1240.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know technically the word for it. Word association sound about right.
It's going to be a psychological examination of both you and me at 1240.
Yeah.
Which I think should be fantastic radio. But before we do any of that, I want to let you know this hour is brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org. Let's get to the most important audio in the world.
Showed Bud, and they've got a rundown. Too far off the bag. Throw from Donaldson coming home. And Baez will be tagged out now. Throw to third. They're going to get him, too. How about that?
Wow.
The Cubs just ran themselves out of bases loaded, one out, and come away with nothing in the second inning. Not sure if the squeeze was on. The bunt was missed. Baez was tagged out by Josh Donaldson. Then the throw to third got Contreras. The Cubs might appeal it. And it's a 1-0 Atlanta game.
Yeah, that was a really weird moment in the game last night. A very little league double play that the Cubs ran themselves into. Max Fried was on the ropes at that point.
Yeah, he was getting knocked around a little bit, even though he did have a strong outing. But he was getting knocked around. They were getting after him right there.
He came back great after that. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. He walked the bases loaded that inning.
Yes, he did.
And then the next inning, the Cubs pitcher walked the bases loaded. Neither team scored in those situations. That does not happen ever.
Yeah, but, I mean, you heard what Schnick said. Sometimes you're going to be in games like this, man. And again, I go back to LJ. Is that the guy you want every time it's a high leverage moment? Like, I did that, like, the folk really see me do that.
Well, you did it just, like, so condescendingly about the way that all this new terminology in baseball. Yeah. Which one do you hate the most? Is it high leverage? Is it exit velocity?
Probably exit velocity.
Why? It's great. We know how hard the ball's hit.
It's gone.
They had a major league moment last night on the broadcast, too, when Acuña hit the home run. They're like, it's too high. What do you mean too high? He hit it too high.
That was Major League. You remember Major League 2 when he said that? Yeah. When the fans said that? Oh, it's too high.
What do you mean too high?
What do you mean too high?
Who gives a bleep?
It's gone.
Ball's gone. That was a crazy moment last night, though. And the cool part was Max Fried bounced back after that and looked great. Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost like he needed that to happen and then get through it and then remind him, oh, yeah, Max, you're really good. He's a really good pitcher.
He's a damn good pitcher.
He's a really good pitcher.
He's a hell of an athlete.
He is a good athlete.
Yeah,
he's very fast.
He's a really, really good. And that was a great job when he took that walk. You know, it was a great at bat. I was like, okay, Max, go ahead.
Fouling off pitches.
Yeah.
The last outing he had, I think he had like a 12-pitch at bat. Last time he was out there, just kept fouling it off. How frustrating would that be as a pitcher? Because you look at the pitcher coming up, you're like, all right, great. 3-4 pitches, we're out of here. It's an out. On to the next thing. 12 pitches.
Yeah.
13 pitches.
And I hope we get a chance to get John Smoltz on again with us. Because I'm curious the frustration you have with yourself if you walk a pitcher.
That's a great question.
The frustration.
What's more frustrating than walking the other pitcher?
There's got to be nothing.
God, that's awful.
That's got to be just, ugh.
I don't know, though. Smoltz, that would be great to have Smoltz on, but Brian's going on vacation for like 7 months, so I don't know if we're going to be able to do that.
That's all right.
Obviously, Wendy will be here. Wendy could probably do it. Brian's just letting us down. That's all I'm saying. Max Fried.
It's all his damn fault.
It
man.
Is. It is his fault.
Brian.
Max Fried spoke after the game.
It was one of those ones where it was just keep being aggressive, trying to attack the zone, because I felt like a lot of my misses were just outside. It wasn't too big of misses. It was ball was running a little bit normally when I get some cut. So just trying to make some in-game adjustments. And, BMAC was unbelievable tonight, was able to kind of like seeing what I was able to do and kind of just, guide me along.
Do you think that certain guys, because BMAC can't catch every game.
Yeah.
He's going to catch for Keuchel.
Yes.
We know Brian McCann's catching when Keuchel's out there.
Yes, so he's catching tonight.
And Flowers went 2 days ago,
yes,
when Tehran was on the mound.
Yes.
And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Flowers. He frames pitches well. He does a great job. But do you think that there's a little jealousy when you don't get to pitch to BMAC? Because everybody seems to really like when Brian McCann is catching.
Oh,
the record is basically the exact same when Flowers is catching versus when BMAC is catching. But if I'm a pitcher, and Flowers frames the ball really well. He's going to help you out there. BMAC's one of those veteran catchers. It's just going to make you feel comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, but he's doing it. I mean, Flowers, I mean, look how long BMAC's been doing it.
Yeah.
And BMAC did it at a level that Flowers would never get to.
Right, he was great.
Yes, he was great. He was a great player, a great catcher. And he still has that. And, I'm curious if, some of the guys, hey, Schnick, hey, man, let me get BMAC tonight. I'm curious. And not saying anything bad against Tyler.
No.
I'm just, is that a preference that everybody, they might want BMAC?
I would want BMAC.
Well, okay then. So, do you think like Julio Tehran was like, damn, got Tyler.
I don't think it matters with Julio Tehran.
Just put the mitt up there. Let me try to hit it.
I mean, if the ball's not getting to the catcher's mitt,
yeah,
which it wasn't with Tehran the other night, it doesn't matter. I could be back there catching. All I'm doing is getting the ball from the umpire and throwing it back out to Julio. Over and over. I only gave up one home run the other night, but that's all right. Fried's final line last night, there's one very concerning number. 90 pitches, maybe he could go a couple more. That's okay. 8 strikeouts, that's great. 5 walks, though.
I didn't like it.
Don't like that.
No.
Don't want to see that. Dallas Keuchel on the mound tonight. Pretty big start for Dallas Keuchel.
It is.
Given the state of the rotation right now. Do we know who's pitching tomorrow yet? They announced that yet?
So it'll probably come up through sometime. Which time they play tomorrow?
Either Kyle Wright or Bryce Wilson.
Those are the two choices?
I believe so.
Okay. I guess I go Kyle Wright.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. What's the difference?
What's the difference? I mean, somebody tell me the difference.
I'm
I mean,
not
they
sure.
Both they both been on the shuttle.
Yeah, they they were the two.
Were you surprised when you saw Newcomb last night?
Yes.
I was like, whoa.
I didn't know he was available.
Then I went back and looked. I was like,
there's Sean Newcomb.
There's Sean Newcomb.
That's great. Right. The only thing I didn't like about seeing Sean Newcomb last night was they had to show the damn
him
liner off
hit
his
in the
head.
Again. Yeah.
We're good on that, Fox Sports South. We all know what happened. We don't see that anymore. That was gross. Enough of that replay.
I think they'll both be back with the Golden State Warriors. We're like brothers. Wow. We keep in contact. But regardless of any of that, if both did decide to leave, they would still be my brother. I still keep in contact with them as much as possible. And I just wish the best for both of those guys. They come back full strength.
You're crushing the Knicks fans right here with this kind of...
Nobody's going to the Knicks. Sorry.
Nobody?
Oh, okay.
Andre Iguodala.
That's my first time hearing
telling
the
clip. Secrets.
That's my first time hearing it. It sounded like he was tongue-in-cheek when he said that.
He was joking around.
Yeah. Okay, because I read it, but I didn't listen to it, and I just finally heard it. Yeah, okay, that's not that serious.
Yeah. The context is totally different when you're, because he's laughing.
Yeah, he's laughing about it. But he has been telling secrets, though. Like, damn, Iggy, you just tell him.
Like, is he getting ready to retire?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, what's going on?
Because he just wrote the book, good for him. He just got a new book that just hit stands yesterday, I think.
Oh, he
wrote
a book, huh?
Yeah, Six Man, I think it's called.
Huh.
But yeah, to me, that sounds like you're about to get up out of there type talk, man. And I ain't mad at him, bro. Yeah, you done made a whole lot of loot. You got your book. You got some rings. You were an NBA Finals MVP.
Yeah, man. You ever think about writing a book?
No.
What would you call it? Andre Iguodala goes by Sixth Man. The Randy Mack autobiography.
The Grumpster.
The Grumpster.
Yes. Always grumpy, even though I'm the most likable person in the world. Always grumpy.
Foots.
Yeah.
Randy McMichael.
Yeah.
Foots.
Yeah. I like that.
That's garbage.
That's garbage.
That's another Randy McMichaelism. What's the other one you say? Too Much Like Right?
Yep.
That's a great title for a book.
Too Much Like Right.
The Randy McMichael story. Too Much Like Right.
I like that one.
Mine would be Dusty Back. The Andy Bunker story.
The story of the man with the dusty back.
Dirty legs and a dusty back. The Andy Bunker story.
So I guess I want to thank the writers, first of all, for honoring me with this award. I've joked with a bunch of you. I have to be the most boring interview in the league, so thank you for not holding that against me.
Yeah, that was Coach Bud. Another clip. We played one yesterday. We could literally play 75 different clips from Coach Bud's acceptance speech the other night because he talked forever. I've never heard Coach Bud talk that long before in his life. Somebody had to have bet him money.
I got a question for you. When they had the NBA awards, and then he won Coach of the Year for the 60-win team.
Yes, he did.
How was the speech that year? I'm curious.
It's a great question.
I'm curious if his was that the year after they started the awards.
I just want to thank the writers. Dennis, Bays.
Buzz took a lot of shots, though. He took a lot of shots at the Hawks.
Well, he didn't take any shots at him. He just didn't talk about him.
I thought
he thanked every person he's ever met in his life, and then skipped the Hawks part. And then went to Milwaukee.
Like it was
I just want to thank my third grade teacher for giving me the inspiration to become a coach.
Like it was a dark day when he was here. So
fourth grade teacher was really, really important. Obviously, my time in San Antonio, Pop, everybody I worked with there, everybody here in Milwaukee has been really
great.
That's
what I'm saying. That's a shot.
What about that 5-year period of time there where you were down there in Atlanta? You won 60 games, won coach of the year. Well, they fired me because I refused to lose games on purpose.
Yeah.
So. Not really fond of that situation anymore. Anyway, congratulations.
Congratulations,
Coach Bud.
Coach Bud.
He was the only American person to win an award the other night.
Was he?
I don't know. But it was a lot of foreign folks winning.
Well, no, Lou Williams.
Oh, yeah, he's American.
Yeah, Lou.
That's right.
Yeah, Lou.
I'm just saying. Yeah. The big three awards.
Yeah, was all given out to
MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year.
Those most improved.
Most improved.
Yeah.
All international players.
They racked up on us.
It's a new day in the NBA.
Again, when you said that yesterday, I ain't going to go all that. I ain't going to go that far.
Is Kevin Durant from the United States?
He is.
I believe he is.
Yes.
Kawhi Leonard from the United States?
He is.
He's pretty good. LeBron's from the United States, right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, there's still some pretty good U.S. players.
Not now. I'm definitely looking forward to earning that respect and looking forward to coming into this year and just putting up those numbers for my team. And really showing what I can do in a full season as a Dallas Cowboy. I know that I have the skill set to be one of the highest paid receivers. I'm just all about going out there and proving it.
Amari Cooper, ever humble, talking about becoming the highest paid player in the league. Not now. Not yet. I believe I can get there, but not yet.
He's such a humble.
Crazy.
He is. But they got to pay him.
Oh, they're going to.
They got to pay him. Now, I don't know how Dallas going to do all this, because you got Dak saying he went with 34. You got Ezekiel. He gonna want to be the highest paid runner. I mean, you got a high price O line. You just gave DeMarcus Lawrence $100 million. Somebody ain't getting paid. You got Byron Jones who came coming off his best year as a cornerback. You got to pay Jalen Smith.
Woo. Don't forget about Leighton Vander Esch. Eventually,
well,
gonna have
him,
to get paid.
You gotta pay him down the road.
Eventually,
you got a while.
Yeah,
that's
not
four,
yet.
That's 4 or 5 years.
Yeah,
you good with that? But yeah, I mean,
there's talent on
there's
that team.
Oh, they're a very talented team. But, you got to find some money somehow. And if Jared could pay it out of his pocket, he would.
Oh, yeah. It'd be
yeah,
fine.
I mean, but
and
no.
He'd be able to afford it.
And he'd be able to afford it. But, yeah, they got some issues, man. When you talk about that's a good issue to have because those are your guys.
They drafted too well.
And you traded.
Similar issues the Falcons have had.
You traded for Amari Cooper. But
that's right.
Yeah, they got some issues.
Do you think that they're going to do the Le'Veon Bell route with Ezekiel Elliott?
Probably.
Just keep franchising him until he gets hurt?
Probably. I mean, I do it.
That's what I mean.
I do it.
As mean as it is to say,
mm-hmm.
That would be the prudent financial thing to do with basically any running back.
Yeah.
It's not a good idea to give a running back a long-term contract.
I mean, but I give it. I mean, there's the thing with Zeke is that he's your workhorse bell cow runner, all right? He needs 300 yards. He needs at least 300 carries a season for y'all to be successful.
He does.
For y'all to be successful, he needs 300 carries a year.
How long can you do that and still be productive in the NFL?
Well,
not that many guys can have 300. Like, not everybody's Frank Gore.
Yeah. But, you remember when Larry Johnson on Kansas City was getting all of
400 carries.
400 carries. They paid him. And then he was never saying.
Yeah, because he had 400 carries.
And Herm will tell you that.
Yeah.
If you ever talk to Coach Edwards, he'll tell you that. He's like, yeah, we didn't expect him to last much longer after them 400 carries. Back-to-back seasons? Man, please.
It's a lot.
That's a lot of carries. But, no, I think they'll find a way. Tyron Smith restructured his contract. I mean, he's owed so much money in the back end, and they restructured his deal.
Can I just a brief peek behind the curtains? Not everybody is going to appreciate this, but those that do will. That's the third time today that Brian Gebhardt on the other side of the glass has done the old school Larry Johnson. Remember Larry Johnson from the Hornets and Knicks?
That's my favorite player.
The LJ that he used to throw up when he hit shots?
Yes.
Because you were calling Luke Jackson LJ.
Yeah.
and Brian Gephardt's in there doing the LJ sign with his two hands.
Yeah.
And then you talked about the other Larry Johnson who played football, threw up the LJ. There's been a lot of random Grandma Ma love behind the scenes.
I love me some Larry Johnson, dude. Love the
Grandma
commercial.
Grandma Ma was awesome.
I had the Converse React.
You did?
Yes.
Oh, I wanted the React juice so bad.
Yeah, Mama, she got a baby some React juices, man. I was so in love with them shoes.
One of the very few times I felt let down by my mom. I wanted those React juices so bad.
Yeah.
I wanted the Jordan 8s with the strap across the front. Couldn't get those. And I don't blame her.
Yeah, I don't blame her.
$100
for a pair of sneakers. She ponied up for them React juices, man. And it was crazy because I didn't wear them for like a week.
Of course not.
Like, they just sitting around.
You just looked at them.
Yeah, they were so cool.
They came with that cover on them, too.
Yeah. Oh, they were hot.
They were so ahead of their time.
Jay Hart says right here, the Andy your biography would definitely be raw dogging it. The Andy Bunker story.
I can get behind that.
I like that, Jay.
I can get behind
raw
that.
Raw dogging it.
Pun intended, by the way. We'll come back and talk to I'm sorry, man. That was bad. We'll talk to Daniel Jeremiah coming up next from NFL Network. We'll class this thing up a little bit. NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah joins us next here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Wednesday. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll play Word Association, our newest 1240 game. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's the debut episode of Word Association coming up in 20 minutes. So I'm very much looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Randy's just looking at me like, I hope this works.
I hope this works. I can hope. Hey, hope it works.
We'll find out.
We haven't failed yet.
We'll find out in 20 minutes. Yeah, have we not?
No, everything's been pretty good so far.
It's been okay? All right. Well, we'll try to keep that rolling coming up in 20 minutes. One thing we know is going to be good is talking to Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network. You could follow him on Twitter, at Move the Sticks. Also, highly recommend listening to the Move the Sticks podcast that he hosts with Bucky Brooks. Joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline is Daniel Jeremiah. How are you today, Daniel?
I'm doing great, fellas. I'll tell you what, I had the day started for me. I was supposed to get a physical for a life insurance policy at 10 a.m., and the nice lady decided to show up at 7 a.m., so it was a very exciting morning there to have your blood drawn when you're half asleep.
That sounds like DJ, that sounds like something that your wife made you do.
Well, yeah, it made me a little nervous.
So how are you? Everything okay physically? You doing all right?
Yeah, we find out 5 to 7 days, but I feel good about it.
Good, man. We'll follow up in 5 to 7 days. I want to make sure everything's all right.
Yeah, well, come on. Have me on next week. I'll give you the results.
Blood pressure's okay. Cholesterol's a little high. I got to scale back on the salts.
Exactly.
Daddy, you had a great conversation on your podcast with Thomas Dimitroff about a week ago, and we played some of the audio on the show here and got into some of what he said. I just want to start off with you, big picture. What did you take away from talking to Thomas Dimitroff, the general manager of the Atlanta Falcons, when you had him on your show a couple weeks ago?
Well, first of all, thank you guys for listening to it and sharing it with your audience. We actually have even more from that interview. It's gonna pop out on Monday because we're doing a prototype series where we're taking one position per episode and kind of digging in deep. And so we had the second part of that conversation with Thomas was about the wide receiver position, and he has a lot of interesting thoughts on Julio and his contract and everything else. So you can find that coming up on Monday. But my biggest takeaway really was two things. Number one, investing in protecting Matt Ryan was the number one priority for this team in the offseason, both in free agency and in the draft. And then defensively, the hope is that if you get everybody back healthy, that unit takes a big leap forward. So that, to me, was the biggest takeaway, reinforcing that offensive line, throwing a lot of resources at it, and in full belief that Matt Ryan can get back to MVP form.
Well, that was going to be my question to you about this offensive line, was whether he drafted. Now, I'll go over to the other side, DJ, in this defensive line. Now, we all here in Atlanta, we know that Grady's a stud. We know that Grady Jarrett is a stud. But we're trying to figure out, because it seems like every year when everybody's anticipating the Falcons drafting something, they go the complete opposite way. What do you think about that defensive line, and do they have enough with just Grady up there?
I'll tell you what, one of the things, I think you look at the defense as a whole, it's a fast, fast group. Now, if you're saying, is there somebody that's I always look at it when you're putting a scouting report together. So if I'm a team playing the Atlanta Falcons, and I have to circle somebody that I'm worried about in terms of getting after the quarterback, you know, if you're where you want to be in today's NFL, you want to have two or three guys that you're having to circle and say, okay, this is a problem. You know, I do the Charger games during the fall. So with them, you got Bosa and Ingram, and then They try and add in some reinforcements with a guy like Jerry Tillery this year. When I look at this Falcons team, it's really Grady Jarrett. You circle him, and then there's just question marks because you don't know what you're going to get from Beasley, and you don't know exactly what you're going to get from McKinley. So one of those two guys, you know, ideally both of them, but one of those two guys has to be a double-digit sack guy this year and really be a complement to what you have in Grady. And I'm glad you guys mentioned it. I mean, you see it every week. Grady Jarrett is one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL who never, for some reason, gets mentioned in that conversation nationally.
Daniel Jeremiah joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Daniel is an analyst for NFL Network and, again, highly recommend the Move the Sticks podcast. Does it make it hard to, like, fully analyze and predict what the Falcons' defense is going to look like, given what you just said about the pass rushers, given the fact that we don't really know what we're going to get from Tack and Vic? We know we need to get a lot from them. We don't know if we're going to get a lot from them. When you look at what the Falcons' defense can be coming up this year, how much does the question mark surrounding those two guys play into your assessment?
Yeah, you know, look, it's not ideal. I mean, you'd like to have some more known guys there that you're reliable and consistent. But the thing that gives me some hope for this defense is, you know, coming from the Ravens and having grown up in that system, Ozzie Newsome always talked about how we build it up the middle. And when you look at this Falcons team, you want to have an impact player at all three levels up the middle of your defense. And I think when they get healthy with Deion back in there, you can make a strong case with Grady and Deion and Keanu. You've got guys that are big-time impact players right up the gut of your defense. And so I'm a believer in that, and that's what gives me a lot of hope. This can be a unit that's going to be fast and can be really good. I just, you know, man, to take that next step forward, they've got to get some more consistent edge pressure, and that's TBD.
Hey, DJ, explain the just the value that Devontae Freeman brings to this offense when he's whole, because last year, as good as Matt Ryan played, he still got knocked around or not because they didn't have a chance to be more balanced as far as running the football.
Yeah, you know, one of the things is it's not only just him running the ball, but it's getting so many easy completions. And so you get, you know, as a quarterback, when you get a running back that can pop off 8 yards on first down, it makes your life easier second, too. That's, again, it's all about making your quarterback comfortable. He gives you that opportunity. Then you get somebody you can flip the ball out to on an easy completion, and you've got somebody that can get you 10, 15, 20, 30 yards and get you some chunks. And that's when you have special years. That's when you have MVP-type seasons at the quarterback position because you've got people around you that are making your life easier. And when Devontae's healthy and at his best, he's one of those guys that makes life a lot easier on the quarterback.
Hey, Daniel, what did you make of the decisions that the Falcons made this offseason in terms of their coaching staff, the changes that they made, the experience that they brought in, and Dan Quinn moving to be exclusively the defensive coordinator?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big one. You get, you know, Cutter in there, but to me, Dan Quinn taking over that defense and having some ownership there, I think that's going to be that's going to be the big difference. And really, if you look at his, you know, his background, as you guys know, and the expertise up in the front, if we're saying, as we've been saying, that you've got to find a way to generate more pass rush, more edge pass rush, that's his baby. So for him to have control of that and have a feel for that, I think that's going to be good for him overall. You know, it's difficult to be calling one side of the ball and also be a head coach. But, I mean, all you got to do is watch the Super Bowl last year, and I think you could say both those coaches had a pretty good hand in one side of the ball.
DJ, we know that Julio is the man. We all know that. And right now, Mohamed Sanu, he's penciled in as the number two. But Calvin Ridley played well until he hit a little rookie wall last year. Do you see that there's any way that that really might take some reps away from Sanu this year?
I'll tell you what, when you listen to what Dimitroff says on Monday, and I'm not even from a selfish promotional standpoint for this podcast, wait till you hear the way he talks about Calvin Ridley. If you're somebody that plays fantasy football and you're listening to us right now, go ahead and pick him early because the expectations are through the roof of what he's going to be.
Wow. Hey, you said that will be released on Monday on the Move the Sticks podcast?
Yep, that'll be out on Monday.
Right.
And, he goes, Thomas talked a lot about Julio and talked about skill sets of receivers and, you know, just a little bit about Ridley. He just said he's got a chance to be one of the best route runners in the NFL, and he just gushed about him. So it was very interesting. And we knew, I mean, look, we know how explosive he is. But it sounds like that time is coming sooner than later.
Well, we will absolutely point people in that direction when that's released. Daniel Jeremiah, by the way, joining us here on the WadeForIt.com hotline from NFL Network, as well as the Move the Sticks podcast. I want to get your take on the rest of the NFC South. Randy kind of mentioned it earlier that a lot of the direction of some of the other teams has been bulking up the pass rush. The Falcons bulked up their offensive line. What do you make of what the Falcons did this offseason in the context of what everyone else did in the NFC South this offseason?
Well, you know, it's a fascinating division because there's the, you know, look, the Saints, if they're healthy and knowing what they have and where they are in the process, it's, you know, it's kind of a now or never when you've got a quarterback at Drew Brees' age. But, I mean, they still, to me, appear to be, the, you know, the class of that division. Carolina is a wild card, obviously, because of Cam, you know, is the hell, if he's healthy, they're right back in the mix. And you look what they did in the offseason. Especially in the draft, you get a guy like Greg Little, who I think has got a chance to come in and play right away for him. They got some pass rush with Brian Burns. I liked what they did in the offseason. And then to me, Tampa, I honestly have no idea what to expect there. I think people, when you have a coaching change, usually it's because you've got two sides of the ball that are terrible. Their offense was actually pretty explosive last year. And so now you get Arians to come over with a lot of talent in place. I think they'll score a bunch of points. And then we'll see what they can do defensively. I love bringing in Devin White. But they have the greatest variance to me. I feel like most of those teams, you could say, okay, I feel comfortable within two or three wins of where they're going to be. If you told me Tampa was like 5-11 or 11-5, I would argue with you.
Hey, DJ, right now, you know, it's a slow summer, and it's a, you know, it's the, every day it's a new list of who's this, who's that, who's the best team here and all that.
List season.
And right now, we've been talking about our show about the loon list where the Falcons are rated and all these other teams. In the NFC, would you put the Falcons, because you got to be in the top six to make a playoffs, would you put them somewhere in there?
Yeah, I think they're right in that mix. You know, I always, you know, look, there's nothing going on, so this is what we do, right? Everybody goes out there and creates their lists of this, that, or the other. I always feel like once I get a chance to get out to training camps, I don't care about the preseason games, I'm not really putting in much stock in that, but once you get out there and see these teams on the field, you get a chance to see the kind of depth that they have. And at that point in time, I feel like, okay, you have a pretty decent understanding of where they shake out. But, yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at teams in the NFC right now, and I think you're talking about a top five or six team. They're right there in that mix.
Hey, Daniel, I wanted to get one more in for you, not NFL-related, but I saw on your Twitter feed you had done a video breakdown of DeAndre Swift. You're talking about DeAndre Swift. Obviously,
oh, yeah.
We talk a lot of UGA football here.
What
did you make of some of the video breakdown you did on him, and what do you expect him to look like in Georgia's offense this year?
He's fun to watch. You know, he's one of those guys last year when you're watching Holyfield, you know, getting ready for the draft, I was like, if people would ask me, you know, what's your take on Holyfield? I said, well, the worst thing is that the other guy comes in. Once the other guy comes in, you're like, oh, geez, you realize everything that Holyfield isn't when you see Swift come out there because of his ability level. No fault to Holyfield, but just that guy's on a different level. And to me, I'm anxious to see how purely fast he is. I have a sense he might be a little quicker than fast. But man, he hits a lot of home runs. Guys gain on him. They never catch him. And he is a strong, powerful, low center of gravity guy. So he's a very, very talented player.
He got some wheels, DJ. Yeah, he can go now.
Yeah, that's what I'm anxious to see because it's one of those deals where he's always – and, you know, guys, sometimes when you're fast, he just kind of knows how fast he has to be to get there.
Yeah.
And so I'll see linebackers kind of close on him. They don't catch him, but they're closing on him. So I'm like, well, he's either got a very keen understanding of his own body and just kind of gearing it down, or maybe he's, you know, doesn't have that pure top end, but golly, he just ran 75 yards, so he's doing something right.
Hey, Daniel, we appreciate it. Great stuff, as always. We will be sure to check out the Thomas Dimitroff conversation on Monday. And, of course, you know, good luck with the physical results.
Appreciate it, DJ.
And, hey, if there's nothing going on in the sports world and you need a conversation, we can talk about whether you guys have the best young baseball player or whether my San Diego Padres do, because I'm going to go with my guy, Fernando Tatis Jr.
You want to debate that. Okay,
we'll have you back on.
Yeah, all right, that's a deal. And I can give you the update on my physical. Everybody wins.
Appreciate it, D.
That's Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network. That's a fun one. There's a lot of good, young, talented players in baseball.
Yes, there.
Ronald Acuna is clearly among them.
Yes, he is. He's the best.
I think he's the best, too. Yeah. We'll come back and react to a little bit of what Daniel Jeremiah told us. We'll also play Word Association, our newest 1240 game. Makes a debut next, right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get back to the trending topics of the day. Also, Atlanta United supporters, you can join 92.9 The Game tonight, starting at 7 o'clock at Hobnob Neighborhood Tavern in Brookhaven for Atlanta United versus Toronto. Yes, in fact, that is happening tonight at 7 o'clock at the Hobnob Tavern in Brookhaven. Great food and drinks, plus Atlanta United prize giveaways if you want to go watch a game over there. Jason Longshore going to join us in about half an hour from right now, live from Toronto, Canada. Home of the NBA champion Toronto Raptors. Mike Conti tells us that they got off the airplane and there's just Raptor stuff everywhere. Which makes sense. I mean, they just won the championship like last week. But Jason Longshore going to join us live from Toronto coming up in half an hour. Get back to what's trending coming up in 20 minutes. Before we do any of that, though, Wendy Adams in studio with us once again for the debut of another 1240 game. Now, last week we debuted Real Snit or Bull Snit.
Which is fantastic.
And I think we'll do that again coming up on Monday. We play Sports Jeopardy at 1240 on Fridays, which Randy has been embarrassing me at for the last couple of weeks. I'm going to try to redeem myself on Friday. And it's not. It's just a runaway. It's been a joke. You've been putting foots in me.
Yes, I have.
You have.
Well, there was a controversial finish.
There was not.
I cheated. You cheated.
I beat you by six. You could have had that. You could have had a little spank point.
Yeah, but you know how everything's different after the cheating has happened.
Are you like a Braves bullpen guy? Real can't refocus.
I'm like Fulton.
Yeah, that's what you are.
I'm the Mike Fultonevich of Sports Jeopardy.
Yeah. You can't refocus and everything.
If the inning goes wrong early, I'm screwed.
Yeah, and then all my Peach County people who I love y'all so much. This is going to throw me under the bus like that.
Well, they're disappointed in
you. They're not disappointed me.
For not having integrity.
All that stuff I did for that school.
Look, man, I don't know. I can't speak for them. All I know is I heard there was a lot of people disappointed.
This is 5 days later, guys.
Disappointed.
5 days later.
We'll play Sports Jeopardy again on Friday. Today, it's Word Association.
And this is...
Come on, baby, tell me what's the word, a word
of... Yeah.
Of
there
course.
We go.
All right, listen.
So we took this from, we saw on AtlantaFalcons.com, Matt Ryan sort of doing a roundtable. And when you hear a word, you normally have something associated to it. Like, he was given expectations, champs.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have you expound on it, depending on what your answers are. Because it's going to get real interesting. Because there's going to be some names, and there's going to be some words.
Okay.
So they can either be athletes' names, and we have a couple people.
And you want us to give a one-word association to the word.
One-word association only. So it's not really a competition, but more... Let's see how you guys embarrass yourselves.
All right,
we're going to start with this one. Very easy. Luke Jackson.
Sorry.
Lane.
Randy, would you like to expand on your lane?
Sorry, Luke Jackson.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
That's it. Yeah. Although he was good last night.
He was on one last night.
And I think Snit was right to have him out there last night. But, yeah, I still don't trust
him. No, not at all.
And Randy promoted him to LJ today.
Yes.
So
right.
He's slowly getting his name back on the radio. He was number 77. He got LJ today. If he keeps on the tear.
What if
we
he gets to save tonight?
May get a Jackson. Can we just have a last name?
No, it'll be Lou J.
Lou J.
Yeah, Lou J.
He gets two letters.
Two letters.
Okay. All right. He'll work towards it.
Exit velocity.
Fun. Garbage.
Garbage?
Yeah, garbage.
Why garbage, Randy?
Man, it's gone. All right? You know I hate analytics and all these new words, man. I'm just getting tired of it, man.
Fun. It's just fun to know stuff. Information is fun. Now we know how hard the ball was hit.
You know the damn ball is gone, Andy. Why do you know how fast it was?
I want to know exactly how gone it was and how fast it took to get there.
Right. And how far it went.
And how far it went and what angle it launched
that's
at.
That's what I'm saying. Like, damn, it's a home run. Let's run around the bases and do our little... And be done.
Yeah, I wish people could have just seen what Randy was doing. You can watch at 92.9
Game. Yeah, exactly. Watch online, and you can see Randy do all the dances. That was pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Kind of like you're a third base coach, giving the signs to the batter.
Yeah. I love all the new stuff. I really do.
Yeah,
I think it's fun.
But you did say you're a nerd.
I'm a sports nerd.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Yeah, it's okay.
Right. I love it.
Bachelor party.
Man, yeah.
Mistakes.
Yeah. That's the only way I go with it. Yeah.
All right. Andy goes mistakes. What were these mistakes?
Well, I'm not going to tell you. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm supposed to expand.
My buddy is hanging out, staying with us for a couple days because he just left a bachelor party in Miami.
Yeah.
So on the way back, because he lives out in Los Angeles. So on the way back, he thought he'd stay in Atlanta for a couple days. He was telling me last night about some of the mistakes that were made by married friends of ours. Mm-hmm. Just things people do.
Yeah, I mean.
So what you do at bachelor parties.
My bachelor parties, mine was epic. My boy Corey, my best friend Corey, we had his bachelor party in Miami. It was epic. Had people running up and down the highway, up 75, chasing the car. I mean, it was epic.
The biggest mistake I made at my bachelor party was I didn't get a good food base in me before the first night.
And it got you.
Drank too much tequila, had to go home a little early that first night.
Uh-huh.
I fixed that the second day.
Yeah, no, epic.
You recovered.
I was covered. I recovered the second day.
Epic.
First night, I threw up at a pizza restaurant. That
wasn't good.
No.
It's not good.
We're playing word association where I'm giving Andy and Randy a word, and they have to tell me what they associate it with. A one-word answer. Carl Dukes.
Selfie.
Smooth.
No Oversprayer.
No one said inspirational?
No.
No.
I don't get inspired by Carl Dukes' inspirational messages.
No.
I mean, I like them. They're fine.
We're going to get to the bottom of this. Because I think Carl is like a part of like this email chain that he gets these things, and then every day he'll put them on his Twitter.
I think that, like, probably.
Yeah, but like, act like he's sounding all sophisticated.
But I like Mike Bell taking over the,
awesome.
The handle.
It's so great.
Mike Bell.
Because Mike is keeping it real.
His inspirational messages are more, I don't know, I relate better to them.
Exactly, because he's keeping it real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're overlooking Oversprayer. Randy, I'm going to need you to elaborate. Carl Dukes, Oversprayer.
Oh, when they're in the bullpen and you walk out the studio, you smell Carl.
He's like the axe guy?
Yeah, he's a guy that he's more of a, like, he's the guy that, like, sprays the wrist and then rubs them together and puts them on the back of his neck and stuff.
No, I think he sprays like a cloud.
And then runs through
and
it.
And then dances through it.
That could be it.
That's what he did in high school to get ready.
He stands in the cloud a little longer than he needs to.
I said
smooth because I just think Carl's a really good radio host.
Oh, he's awesome.
That's what I was saying.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome.
All right, next words. Jeff Francoeur.
Problem.
That face.
Jeff Francoeur is a problem. Because now he's on TV every damn day.
Oh, man.
So now Jeff Francoeur spends.
I don't see the problem with that.
Jeff Francoeur spends 3.5 hours in my living room every single night.
And for the listeners out there, we have Andy's, his lovely wife, Ashley. She is a big Jeff Francoeur fan.
She has been.
And she calls him Jeff. Like they know each other.
She says, so
and
apparently.
The face that Andy makes when it happens is unbelievable.
So last night she mentioned, apparently, Jeff Francoeur, who I don't know, so I'm going to say his whole name, had a Twitter interaction with somebody, had a little back and forth. She goes, "Do you see this person?" And Jeff got into it on Twitter. Who the hell's Jeff? Who's Jeff? Oh, Jeff Francoeur, the guy that you don't know?
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll never meet?
Jeff's cool. I like Jeff. Jeff, that's my word with Jeff. It's cool.
He's cool. That's part of the problem.
He's a cool cat.
Yeah, that's part of the problem. He's in my living room 3.5 hours every night now.
So your wife Ashley could have a crush on anybody else, but not Jeff Francoeur.
I mean, she has crushes on other people, and I don't care that much about them.
It's just him.
It's just Jeff.
That's why Greg Olson's jersey had to get lost in the move.
It's just him.
It's more of a problem with him. The other people aren't in my living room for 3.5 hours every single night. Did you hear what Jeff said? Who the hell's Jeff?
Who's this Jeff guy you speak of? All right, Deshaun Tate.
Slow.
Light skin.
Deshaun Tate works here. He's our TriCaster for us.
He's our slow TriCaster.
Slow, light skin TriCaster.
Because he didn't do so hot on the floor.
He knows a lot about college basketball, though. I'll give him that.
All right, one more. Okay. Ex-girlfriend.
Many.
Bye.
I don't think those need explanations.
Yeah, I think we're good. All right, I feel good about that one for a first attempt.
Who the hell is Jeff?
I'm keeping more of these on this list.
That is unbelievable.
Good.
You never met that man.
How upset you get about that when she says that.
As soon as I said his name,
he says it like they know each other.
Can we get Joe Simpson back?
You're going to start a petition
Actually,
online?
I think Jeff Francoeur does a really good job. And when Glavin's in there,
they're really good.
Which makes it even worse.
Ashley likes it too.
Problem. I hate
Ashley
you,
thinks
Wendy?
He's talented as well.
Yeah. All right. Screw you guys. I'm going home. What's trending coming up next? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.